Hello, welcome to MVP Tech Talk, Career, Coding, and Cookies.
Yeah, and I'm Ward Bell. I happen to be an MVP. How about you, John?
Yeah, I'm John Papa, and I'm also an MVP and also Ward's sidekick.
Right. Well, and I'm your sidekick because we're sidekicks. So as you probably know, this show was designed to talk about best practices in a whole range of technologies and to also help you understand the very soft skills that we have to grease our way into the hearts.
So soft. Yes, career soft skills, IT topics, dev solutions, using open source solutions
and
other
right.
technologies with Microsoft, too.
And we're both doing a lot of open source these days.
We are. So we wanted to talk a little bit today about kind of how the landscape has changed for us and for what we feel is a great direction for a lot of developers out there, maybe such as you, who wanted to get into a wider range of technologies and, quite frankly, have a more fulfilled career.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about the confluence of different forces and technologies and companies going on. And it's about open source. For example, I and my company are the makers of something called BreezeJS, open source software to help build spa applications, handle the data side of spa applications. And you, John, you've been actively involved in the OSS world, you've built a number of projects. Angular, the Angular Style Guide is one of the most important. That's what everybody who is building, and I can say this because you can't, because it would be bragging if you said it, but it's what everybody uses to as they take on Angular projects and they start trying to say, how do I, you know, after I learn turn the screws, how do I really architect my application? How do I solve the problems that other people have been solving? You know, how do I address them? How do I arrange things? And the Style Guide is kind of the authoritative piece on it. You have become the center, the oracle of style.
Oh, oracle.
Pun? The oracle.
How about the Postgres? The Postgres of style.
He's the czar of style.
There you go. So what's kind of neat about this is before you can even get into a lot of these technologies, you know, the Style Guide we talk about, as Ward mentioned, is something that you can use once you've learned Angular. You want to then say, okay, now how do I build an app right? Because the first app we build in any technology, let's be honest, I know the first app I build in most technologies is not the app that I want to show everybody because we make mistakes. We learn things along the way. And even though we know how to use the technology, we're learning how to express ourselves and make a better, more performance and, quite frankly, get a better ROI for our business. But before you can do that, you've got to learn how to use the tech.
Yep.
And before you even do that, Ward, it's really hard to understand, how do you pick a technology in this landscape?
Well, I almost have given up trying to say that I would pick one. But I think what you end up doing is you find certain things that seem to work together well. Mm-hmm. And I think the companies are realizing that they need to work together well. So, and that they can't have the one answer all by themselves to doing it. That certainly seems to be the trend at Microsoft, and it's the trend in other companies.
You mean like companies like Microsoft and Google?
Yeah, like those two companies.
Isn't that like oil and water?
It would have seemed. People are shocked at how closely members of the Google world have been working with members of the Microsoft world, and that's no more clear than it is with Angular 2. Because at one point, the Google team was going to invent their own language.
Yeah, let's take a look at that and explore it a bit, because it's strange, right? We've got Microsoft, who's known for .NET and C#.
Exactly.
And then Anders Heilsberg created TypeScript 3-4 years ago. It was released. And then it didn't take off nearly as much as it has these days. And the real impetus seemed to be, what, a year and a half ago, Angular team said, we're going to create our own language.
Right.
AtScript.
And it was just like it was TypeScript, but with something that TypeScript didn't have. And everybody's going, come on, can we stop doing this?
Yet another language, YAL.
YAL. But they got together. The two teams got together, and they said, you know what? The Angular team said, we don't really need to do this. You guys are great at this.
Microsoft's good at creating languages.
Yeah,
Google
and tools.
Has a great Angular platform.
Exactly. So they figured out what needed to be done. They continue to figure out what needs to be done. They're working together with each other all the time. And that also flowed over to the tool. Do you have Visual Studio Code there?
I do. Let's take a quick look at that.
All right. So Visual Studio Code, which is the new hotness, I think. What do they have, over 1 million downloads already?
It's pretty impressive. It's a lightning-fast editor that works on Linux, Mac, and Windows.
Exactly. And tremendous TypeScript support, tremendous C# support for the new ASP.NET stack, and getting better all the time. The stuff that they were showing that they can't talk about yet. Anyway, the stuff that's coming towards you is going to blow your socks off, but it already blows our socks off. And you know what? The Angular team, half the Angular team is using Visual Studio Code to develop Angular itself.
There's actually, if you look at the trends, like Google Trends, which I look at a lot for different technologies, Visual Studio Code and Angular have really taken off, but Angular's always been strong, but it's been carrying TypeScript quite a bit. It gave a huge jolt of Red Bull to TypeScript back in, I think it was March, when the Angular team basically announced that, hey, we're getting rid of AdScript, we're going to merge those features into the TypeScript, and then the Angular team said, hey, we're all going to get behind this. And then not only are they using TypeScript with Angular, but they're actually developing Angular 2 and TypeScript.
And you know, it hasn't stopped there, because other companies have gotten on board too. So they started working with Ember, the Angular team did, and so many of those influences came in. And Aurelia is, I don't know if it's completely been rewritten in TypeScript yet, but they certainly are promoting TypeScript and the tooling that goes with it. So you have, you know, what would otherwise be competitors all sort of agreeing on sharing the some of the strengths that come from some of the other offerings. And the ASP.NET team is very feels very good about promoting Angular application development within the context of ASP.NET.
I think if there's any key we learned for the last couple of years is that, I mean, really since the introduction of the iPad and HTML5 kind of went crazy in the last couple of years, is that technology is changing faster now than it was even before. We thought it was fast when Silverlight was releasing once every 6 months, right?
Yeah.
But it's going even faster. And in that sense, you can't always chase the next new thing. So I don't recommend going out there and trying to figure out, well, I'm not going to go to use this because the next version of the next great thing is coming out in 6 months, because you have to get work done. But in the same sense, it's good to keep your hands in multiple platforms. So we're playing with things that Google created, that Facebook created for React, that Microsoft's got, like TypeScript and ASP.NET. We're using Node. We're using all these different platforms, Docker. It's good to have a well-rounded experience.
I think if you want to be a good MVP, these days it's not only about mastering Microsoft technologies, it's about building bridges to other communities and being able to show how they interoperate and also to be a bridge to the other communities, the other developer communities, which is something we really need to do. You know, there are lots of folks out there working in other technologies who actually know what they're doing and can help us grow professionally and make our own products and our clients happier. So
yeah, and Microsoft's changed quite a bit. They used to be hey, somebody else is creating something awesome. Maybe the Microsoft of 6 years ago might have said, Angular is awesome. Let's go make our own.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. No, they would have.
Today, instead, they're saying, wow, there's already something awesome, and there's other things, not just Angular. Like some React, and there's Ember.
Right.
Taking those things and making it so that they work well with the Microsoft tooling. And Microsoft's best thing has always been, in my mind, is building those bridges.
I think so.
The tooling, the technology, the languages, tying it all together and then using it through the cloud.
Absolutely. And may the best technology win. And the best technology is always kind of shifting. But it's not a mania about us, you know, our way or the highway anymore. I mean, even when they introduced Visual Studio Code, like, there are a lot of other editors out there, right?
Yes.
But they did it in such a way that all the other editors could take advantage of TypeScript and the TypeScript services. And they were very careful about introducing Visual Studio Code as an option. They hoped it would be a flagship, a really beautiful editor, and set the standard for what can be done in terms of a productive editing environment for a developer. But they weren't out there to slaughter any of the other ones. And the other ones are doing fine, and they're able to have great TypeScript support too, like WebStorm does, and their plugins for Sublime and so forth.
Yeah, and it's great. So looking a little bit here at Visual Studio Code, we've got a great little editor that we can use through here, and we've got some TypeScript code. And in TypeScript, what's nice in code is you can hover over different elements, and I'm holding the command key down. You can take a peek at, okay, where is that thing defined? And it's up here. We're seeing it defined there. You can hover over that and get an idea of it. You can even go into the CSS and say, all right, so if I hover over this grid and I hold down the command, it's going to show you what kind of elements actually would use this class style, or if I hover over one of these guys. So it gives you an idea of a little more tooling that we get in the JavaScript and TypeScript world that we're, quite frankly, not used to.
Now, what if I'm like a Microsoft guy, right, or an older guy, and I can't see that screen? Can I make it look like what I'm familiar with, dude, John? Like,
I think you can. So we can go up here to the little command palette. We can choose a different theme that we want to do.
Make me happy, would you?
We can choose like any color we want. We can do light.
See?
I got my sunglasses on now,
exactly.
But that'll work. We can also zoom in. It's just a browser. We can move things to the right, left. We can open up two panes. We can open up different files. We've got a whole bunch of different options inside of here.
And what I really love about this is how clean it is. Like, there's just not a lot of stuff floating in and out and getting in your way.
No.
This is a productivity tool.
And we can debug.
And we can debug?
Debug JavaScript, TypeScript, and very soon, ASP.NET.
Right. And we can talk to source control, which I'm doing all the time.
We also talked about how ASP.NET's changing a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, we got these great articles up here about ASP.NET 5 on Mac OS X.
Mm-hmm.
So why might you want to go here? It may not be that you want to go to OS X, but this is something that's really amazing because now you can take ASP.NET, run on Windows, run on Linux, run it on Mac, and this opens the doors to people who only develop on Macs and people who only deploy to Linux in production.
Absolutely.
So now we can take the great things that .NET has, it's even faster now, right, than it used to be, and we can put it on basically every web server in the world if we wanted to.
And it's also been good for Microsoft because by trying to enter into some of these other environments, they have to cope with what the prejudices there or the claims that are there, mm-hmm. like in terms of performance and so forth. And it pushes Microsoft to go out there and get out of the bubble and compete on the same footing. And they're doing great because the engineering here is pretty darn good, I have to say.
It is. And we talked about a couple other things. So let's show a few things they've got there. Like, they've got this TypeScript playground, which is awesome, right? If you go to TypeScriptLang.org and you go over to Play, you can actually take a peek at TypeScript right now. And let's say you don't even know any TypeScript. You can just select one and say, what does a class look like? And then you select one. You show on the left what your class is. And on the right, it shows you the ES5 JavaScript that it emits.
Yep.
So you might say, I don't know how to do that. What if I just wanted to create a function over here and call this the Go Ward Bell function?
Let's go there.
Let's do it. And let's say it returns, go you. We can do that. And, look on the right-hand side. It's actually producing the same JavaScript in this case because that is one of the best things of TypeScript. That TypeScript is basically accepting all JavaScript. Any JavaScript you have now works in a TypeScript file.
Yeah, I know. I use this as a TypeScript research tool. Like, what JavaScript did I actually get out of that construct?
Yes. It's actually quite a nice little tool to check things out. And you can look through generics and modules. All sorts of new features that they have in the language as well. So down here, they probably have the template syntax. They do. So we've got this nice little backtick.
The backtick.
Which allows you to basically do string formatting, which is in C# now too,
mm-hmm.
right? Actually, it was there first. Yep. But question that, right? The guy who wrote C# basically put the same feature in TypeScript, huh?
Well, and we're seeing more and more of those language features that we're used to, like await. Teed up for JavaScript.
And there's a roadmap in here that you can check out. And then they kind of come together inside of Angular 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because Angular 2, they're working with JavaScript, but they're allowing you to type in TypeScript or Dart or JavaScript ES5 or ES6 for that matter. So we can choose how we want to write our Angular 2. I particularly prefer TypeScript.
What do you prefer? I'm pretty much locked into the TypeScript world.
Why? Why bother?
I was very resistant. I don't know about you, but I was very resistant because I knew the JavaScript. I thought it's a crutch for people who can't really get over strong typing. They can't get over all of that. And when you really know what you're doing,
because JavaScript's an awful language.
When you really know what you're doing, you get down to the metal. You get down to JavaScript.
It has nothing to do with that, though, does it?
No. No, it turns out that I like having IntelliSense, and I like having it catch my stupid spelling errors, and I like being able to refactor. And there's nothing more shocking than taking the stuff that you thought was really working just fine and pouring it in here and having it tell you all the things that you had subtly wrong all along that were bugs waiting to happen.
Yeah, I always like to tell people, hey, instead of saying choosing between TypeScript or ES5 or ES6, do you like it when the editor kind of fills in the blanks for you? You start typing a dot and autocomplete fills it in. Or do you like to see red squigglies while you're typing so you know that, hey, you did something wrong, as opposed to going to production and finding out you made a typo somewhere?
Yeah.
If you like those things, TypeScript may be for you. So it's a good way to go.
And I was worried that it would get in the way. It doesn't. Maybe I felt like it did at one time, but it doesn't. All the things that I need to do that I used to do in JavaScript, I'm doing here. And also, I have great confidence, thanks to the playground, I have great confidence now in the code that it generates. I can choose to debug in JavaScript. You have the source maps, and so that you can debug back and forth and stay in your native language in TypeScript.
And we debug client-side script in the browser.
Yes,
I tend to do that. But we use VS Code to do our server-side scripting,
absolutely.
Or C#.
Right. But I find actually that the JavaScript is so readable that I have no problem actually ignoring the source maps and debug. I'm one of those weird people that debugs directly in JavaScript.
You are weird board. Yes.
Thank you.
But you know what's fun is like if you want to learn a little TypeScript, I go to the playground. I would also recommend taking a look at Angular 2, mm-hmm. which here's a tutorial that Ward and I had a hand in writing on the Angular site. It's called the Tour of Heroes, and it walks you through kind of what you're going to build. It's a simple app, and it takes you step by step, not only by telling you what to do, but it also tells you why we're kind of what's motivating each step that we're doing. And this will help you get started in TypeScript. And that's what actually what this app is that I pulled up here. And if you look at like one of the components, you'll see that the code is relatively simple. Our imports are basically our using statements.
They're
from
using statements. They first freak you out from JavaScript world. But
they
But if you come from C# and you say using, oh, I get it. It just makes the symbol available.
We want a component. We want a router. We just pull them out.
Yep.
And then we have a class. And it's called a dashboard component. And it's got this attribute, this decorator. That's like the annotations in C#.
It's just like an attribute in C# or in Java.
And then we've basically got code that looks a heck of a lot like C# down here. Mm-hmm. That's our TypeScript code, right? Yeah.
It's even got interfaces templates. Like that on a net interface.
Yeah, and it's very simple to go through. And if you look through here, you're not seeing anything in here that would identify this as Angular, Ember, React, whatever, other than at the top, we're actually importing from Angular. Mm-hmm. But everything else in here, it just looks like JavaScript or C# for that matter.
Yeah, no, there's a pretty clean separation of the code that's actually doing something, which you see there in the class, and then as you scroll up, from the metadata that describes that code for the framework. So that the framework can come along and take this class, which is just a bare class, and say, ooh, I know what to do with that within the Angular framework.
Yeah, and this metadata is really helpful because that's what really drives the framework to be faster, better, and easier to get going
with.
Make
it work at all, yeah.
And when you're done with this tutorial, you can actually it actually runs, and which is a nice thing.
It is nice when
and
it
you
runs.
Get a nice little app. It's intentionally very bare just to kind of get you out of the box and running. You can click on one of these guys. You can change this to, you know, Ward Bell because we always want to do that. You can go back to a different list, choose somebody else. So it's got a little routing, a little data binding,
a little master
bit of
detail. I mean, the basic mechanics that you would find in most business applications are here, but small enough and clean enough so that you can understand it. But it lets you know that you can indeed build an application in this.
Yeah, and what's nice is you can actually go over here and see the code that's actually being created. So we can look and see there's the TypeScript file. That's the file that we actually put as our source. Mm-hmm. But we can also look in there and you can see that what's coming through is the actual ES5.
Exactly.
So we're transpiling from TypeScript over to ES5.
Yeah.
So where we've hit a lot of different angles here, and I think that kind of the nutshell in my mind is if you're trying to look at where's your career going next, you know, maybe you're a web guy, maybe you're not. Whether you're a back-end guy or a front-end guy, I think it's good to take a look at the landscape. Things are changing. Understand what's out there. Maybe you don't have to be a master at all these things.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to embrace the fact that you're not going to know everything.
Don't
anymore.
Be resistant to change. Right?
Always. The term we've heard. Yeah. You really got to be ready to rock and roll with it. And I think that's part of what being an MVP is about, actually.
It's more about, to me, it's less about the MVP program itself. It used to identify you're a C# guy, you're an ASP.NET guy.
Right.
Frankly, we never fit into that category.
No.
We've always been, we never fit anywhere.
Oh, exactly.
If you really want to get out and act in the community, one thing I recommend is and learn more about being an MVP, is learn a lot of different things. Learn how all these things tie into the different products across different companies.
Yeah.
Because what to me, the value in Microsoft, at least in the new Microsoft, has been I really enjoy how they're trying to socialize the community to make it easier to connect all the different best technologies out there through the awesome parts of Microsoft, like Azure, like ASP.NET, like TypeScript, like VS Code. There's so many great examples
there
today.
There are so many great products that have been released recently and that are coming in the pipeline, and you just have to bathe in the change. You just have to let it wash over you, and it's a great time to be in this game.
It's an awesome time, and it's not about the new shiny cool thing. It's about finding tools that make you more productive.
It's
and
not about the shiny cool.
It isn't. I know I've got a shiny head, but that's. No, it's more about. And you got a shiny suit.
I have a shiny suit.
But it's more about looking at what's out there, evaluating the new tools, seeing how they fit together, and finding what's going to be the thing that kind of drives the business value for you. And I'm don't about you, but I've been more productive in the last year or so with these technologies working together across multiple companies than I've ever been.
Yeah, it's great.
So in closing, let's just say the recommendations we have, I'll give a tip and you give a tip. I recommend that people take a look at both Angular and TypeScript and see how these things work together. whether you're doing Angular or not, even if you're doing basic JavaScript, I think TypeScript's a great thing to get started with. And then using that with Angular 2 to get going with it, which is getting very, very close to being very stable and ready to be used out in the wild.
And I highly recommend that you start taking a look at Visual Studio Code, which is my go-to editor these days. And it won my heart on the strength of its capabilities, not because somebody jammed it down my throat.
And it's free.
And it is free, and it runs everywhere and all that stuff. But it is amazingly productive, and it is evolving very quickly from something that's very good to something that's getting even better.
And by the way, it's taking less than 10 seconds to download the entire tool.
Yeah. And it updates regularly.
Updates once a month. You can download it, install it, and run it in like less than a half a minute.
Yeah. You just got to put that on your list if you haven't done it. Anyway, John, I think we've taken enough of their time, haven't we?
We have. And hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yeah. Please do.